reasons why we appreciate and honor women within our lives, mothers within our lives. For one thing, I've seen that no matter, I'm over 50 now, you know, anytime I talk to my mother, it's still my darling son. You know, she takes me, always looks at me as the son she had in diapers. And I've seen that even when I'm 80, she will still look at me the same way as her darling son, you know. But we thank God for that. We thank God that through mothers, we learn what it means to nurture. God created man and woman, and each one plays a different role. A man is meant to be strong, to be the one that will go to work, to be the one that will go to battle. A woman is a nurturer. A woman is the one that gives life. A woman is the one that kisses your bruise when you fall. A woman is the one that teaches you to love. A woman is the gentle one, the compassionate one. That is always the stern one. Well, some places it's other way around. But what would we learn from women? They give life, they nurture, they protect, they love. They teach, they train. They exude beauty and grace. If you want to look for what beauty is in a human being, you don't look at a man. Because God created men and he fashioned women. So when you want to look at beauty, you look at women. When you want to look at grace, you look at women. And we thank God for that. We thank God for that. Because that's the reason why we can honor you as women within our lives today. Looking at the scriptures, there was a particular scripture that I saw that I had never seen before, where Paul, in the book of Romans 16:13, he was giving the final greetings, and he was writing and said to remember and not forget Rufus, and the mother of Rufus, who was like a mother to him also. Paul had his own mother, but he remembered somebody else's mother. And I cannot imagine what that person must have meant in the life of that great apostle Paul, that when he wrote that letter, he asked that woman to be remembered and to be greeted. We look at the life of Timothy. In the book of 1 Timothy, Paul writing to Timothy, we learned about the nature of the mother and the grandmother praying for this man, because it was from the faith that was found in the mother and grandmother that this man himself became a great man of faith. A great man of faith who was birthed through prayer, who God used as a son, a spiritual son to Paul or Saul, as a spiritual son to Saul, who now became a pastor, a leader within the church. We look at the life of Moses, a product of a fearless mother. At the time when the decree was given that children should be killed, Moses, the deliverer of Israel, he came into the scene. His mother gave birth to him and saw that this was a beautiful child. And she could not bear to see this child being killed. And she made a basket of bulrushes and set him upon the waters that the Lord might spare his life. It was a risky thing to have done because she too could have lost her life in doing what she did. The product of a fearless mother. We looked at Samuel, the product of a passionate mother. This was a mother who was barren for a long time. Barren, had been taunted, had been praying to God year and year and year, over and over and over, until the Lord answered her prayer. And there was a promise she made to the Lord in her passion, that Lord, if you give me a male child, I will dedicate this child to you all the days of his life, that he may serve you. And she did that. After the child was born, she weaned the child. She dedicated the child and she brought the child back to the service of the Lord. all these stories that we read, you know, we see women in their glory, giving birth to men who will become great men of their own accord, or, well, not of their own accord, with the help of God in their lives. But one thing I want us to realize is that without these women, and I will dare say, you see, for a child that has a praying mother, Timothy, mother and grandmother being praying mothers, Samuel, that woman was a praying woman, because she came, she prayed, she did not utter words that the high priest thought that she was drunk. She was a praying woman. Moses, this was a man who later on came to be a deliverer of Israel. We just see strong women, women of prayer, women who knew the Lord they serve in the lives of these men who became great men. We cannot do but say thank you to these women, as we can say thank you to our mothers today. Now, this is where the few things I'd like to share with us. One, because of these things that we have talked about, we see the importance of mothers. And I would like to talk to both male and female. Some of us still have mothers. Some of us, our mothers have gone. But if you still have a mother, please take care of your mothers. Take care of your mothers. The Bible tells us that we should honor our fathers and our what? Mothers. You see, that command goes to both fathers and mothers. It's not only to give honor to the father. Honor your fathers and your mothers. In the New Testament, the Bible tells us to obey our parents, our fathers and our mothers. And that commandment to honor your father and your mother in the Old Testament, it came with the promise that your days may be lengthened, may be long in the land which the Lord has given you. You know, Brother Wale used to tell us something long ago, that when you have aged parents, take time to send them something, to take care of them. The way of the world is that we would neglect them because they can take care of themselves until the day they die, and then we want to spend so much money in a funeral showing that, yes, we're able to, we have done good for them. But the good that we could do for our parents, especially for our mothers, and this is a very passionate thing for me, especially for our mothers, because of the kind of culture we have as Africans, especially within the African culture, it is imperative that mothers are taken care of. Now, I say this because in the African culture, there's something about the dominance of a man within a home, and it's part of the culture. Many of us, you know, come to learn what a home means through Christ Jesus. But save for that, many of us will be terrors in our homes and not knowing that we are terrors in our homes. It's because of the Lord Jesus Christ and because of the grace that the Lord has poured into our lives that we have learned to know what it means to be a man, to be a husband, to be a loving wife, to be a Christian wife. But do not let us forget about our mothers. Back in the time of the Bible, their culture was not too different from the culture we have today, in that a woman was second class. A woman, when any man died, the woman did not inherit the property. Because women, when you read genealogies, very seldom would you see a woman named in a genealogy, because it was a paternalistic type of society. It was a male-dominated society in which a woman was second class. Somebody was saying, in the Muslim world, till this day, a woman is considered property. So you can do with a woman as you will. You know, countless videos that I've watched online of women being physically beaten. Even it's codified in the Quran. You know, there was a documentary I was watching where two imams were talking about how in the Quran, I've forgotten how they put it, how to beat your wife and put her in order. You know, something like that. You know, ways, they were talking about ways to beat your wife and not, you know. So women have, over the ages, suffered these things. And that is why it's incumbent upon us, being free in Christ and knowing that it's only in Christ that a woman is uplifted. That we ought, as the body of Christ, to continue the same things that Christ has done. Christ has lifted a woman up. In the time of Christ, the fact that Christ would talk to a woman was like anathema. It was, why would you do that? And not only a woman, a Samaritan woman for that purpose. And I've said sometime, you know, time and over, one of the things, sayings of the Jewish leaders, God, I thank you for not making me a Samaritan, a dog, or a woman. That was what women were thought of in their society. But in Christ, a woman is given worth. A woman is given honor. A woman is lifted up. The Bible tells us that women are of the weaker vessel. They're weaker vessels. Not weaker in intellect. Not weaker in any ability, except that God has given man physical strength more than a woman. And that is why a man is given that command to be able to take care of a woman. As Christians, like I said, let us take care of our mothers. We're in a land flowing with milk and honey. We're in a land where we could get extra. Do not forget those mothers we left back at home. Do not forget mothers we left back at home. Even if they are able to provide for themselves, the fact that they have sacrificed for us in growing up, whatever we can, let us remember them just to say thank you. Jesus Christ, in his own time, did not forget his mother. When he was being crucified on the cross, he gave charge of his mother to John, saying, "Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother." And the Bible says that from that day henceforth, John took the mother of Jesus into his own home and took care of her. Do you know why? I don't know. The Bible doesn't record it too. But I would think, and I might be right, I might be wrong, that at that time, Joseph, the father, was, maybe had died. Don't quote me, I said maybe. Because the fact that this woman will be taken care of, because in that society, once the husband dies, the wife has nothing. Many women, once the husband dies, they go begging because they have nothing to fall upon. There's no social services that will help them. There's nothing for them to fall upon. Even our Lord Jesus Christ, at the time he was being crucified, he remembered his mother, that she be taken care of, that she be provided for, that she be not left out on the streets to suffer. And so, we ought to take care of our mothers. We ought to cherish our mothers, to love our mothers, and to protect our mothers. Proverbs 31, as Kanye read in that video, says, "An excellent wife who can find, she is far more precious than rubies, than jewels." women who are women of God, women who have trained their children in the way of the Lord. And let me correct one thing also, because we might think that the title mother only goes to those who have physically given birth to a person. No. The person who teaches you, who brings you up in the way of the Lord, is a mother to you. The fact that there are mothers who have physically given birth to children, who those children have been raised by other women, because the women, maybe by virtue of drug abuse, alcoholism, by one thing or the other, they were not able to take. Even there are some mothers who do not care. Many children have been taken care of by aunties, by grandmothers. And many are what they are today. Not because their mothers were real mothers to them. Not because their birth mothers were real mothers to them. But other women in their lives had taken their course and become their true mothers. So don't say bad because you have physically given birth. You can give birth and not nurture. You can give birth and not love and protect. The people who have done that, who have been that to you, they are your true mothers. And that is why, as the Bible gives us example, do you know that we all are adopted into the family of God? We are adopted children of God. And so it's a biblical principle that the children who are adopted by virtue of an adoption, the real court adoption, or by virtue of being adopted because the person is being taken care of, is the real child. So do not forget the mothers who have mothered you. Paul did not. The Lord Jesus Christ did not. If you have a child in your life that you have nurtured, that you have loved, you are a mother to that child. And I say to you, you know, young children, the day might come, you go to college, you might find somebody in your life who has been good to you, who has taken care of you, who has protected you. Don't forget that person. Do not forget that person. When I came to the United States, you know, many times I talk about my auntie who in her basement we started the New Covenant Church. But one thing I don't talk often about is that when I came, my auntie, the first year of my MBA, she paid for it. It cost her over $10,000, which she and her husband sacrificed that I might have an education. How can I forget that? The sacrifice was a great sacrifice that she did. I lived in her house. She fed me. She took care of me. So as much as my mother is my mother, she's also a mother unto me. I cannot forget her. In the same way, you all will see people in your lives who will be good to you in those ways. Never forget. Never forget. Also, the Bible tells us to honor, which I've talked about that. But, you know, I won't go, because we don't have much time again, I won't go too much into it. If in the book of Deuteronomy, do you know that to dishonor your parents, there's a curse attached to it? To dishonor your parents, there's a curse attached to it. So there's something spiritual about honoring those in authority, your parents especially, over you. The Bible tells us that Christ is the covering of the man. The man in the home is the covering of the woman. The woman in the home is the covering over the children. There is an order that has been established by God. That order we follow, but we do not diminish the fact that male and male, he created them. Now in Christ, there is no, male and female. Thank you, Sister Shadi. I did not take my memory pill this morning. Male and female, and that was to see that you're all awake. He created them. And the Bible also helps us to understand that in Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither Jew nor Gentile. There's neither male nor female. In Christ, we are all one. In Christ, we are all one. So children, honor your mothers. I like what you guys did. You know, do it for Father's Day also. You know, just to let them know how much you love them. Men, like I said, we cannot be too old that we are not our mother's children. If you haven't talked to them in a long time, please call. If you are fighting with them, forgive them. Forgive them. My friend, Gbengabadejo, he wrote an article that I read recently. And that article, he titled, "I am a feminist." And it got me curious. I am a feminist. How can Gbenga be a feminist? What does he mean by a feminist? You know, the picture of feminism now came to my, I didn't read the article yet. Feminist, woman's liberation and all that. And going through the article, I realized that me too, I'm a feminist. Because what he was bringing to fore there was that this same thing I'm talking about, that many of us growing up, we, especially those who have grown up in what they call polygamous homes, we know what it is for a woman to be maltreated. When I talk about the African home also, you know, things are vastly changing now, and I thank God for that. But when I was growing up, I knew that the ground wasn't equal. It wasn't even. It wasn't even at all. Women were subjugated. Women were downtrodden. And one thing he wrote in the article, he said that, you know, the facts about skin color, a battle has been fought over the years, and we're getting to the place where people are recognized as being equal. That because you are black, doesn't mean that you are inferior. Because you are of the darker shade, doesn't mean that you are less of a human being. It used to be in America, when people voted, one white vote was one. It took, I think, three or four black votes. Eh? Three. You are three-fifths. Okay, well, you can do the math. One black vote was three-fifths human. One white vote was fully human. So it took more than one black person, at least one and a fraction of a black person, to make a white vote. But over the years, things have changed. Women over the years have also been fighting for an equality which they haven't gotten. Though I will say, some might be misguided, but to a large extent, I can see why. Because of this thing in the society. You know that for women to vote in America, they were just able to vote how many years ago? Was it in the 70s or? In 1975. Huh? That's when?
White women.
Oh, white women. So black women voted after white women. So you know your history. So you can begin to understand what I'm talking about. If women for many years have been fighting for this same thing, why shouldn't we as Christians be the champions of this cause? Why shouldn't we as Christians be the ones on the forefront of the battle to let the society, let the world know that no, in Christ, women have been elevated. They have been given a voice. They are something. They are not just property. They are not second-class citizens. My daughter soon will be going to college. She'll be leaving home. I would want her to be treated well. I would want her to be respected for what she knows. Not to be paid less because she's female. In the papers a few days ago, they were talking about Howard University. Howard University, there has been a rape culture in Howard University. And things have not been reported, things have not been dealt with. Now they're suing Howard University for these things that have been happening. But you said, why? Why should it get to that point? So, I'm a feminist also. But I'll leave us with this. God has given us a treasure to cherish, to take care of, to honor, to build up. And I hope by the grace of God, women in our lives as men, as brothers, as uncles, as cousins, we will be able to be those people who would cherish them, who would nurture them, who would be grateful, who would build them up, who would encourage. Because this is the same thing our Lord Jesus Christ taught us. In the day when it was not a normal thing for a Gentile to be spoken to by a Jew, not to talk of a Gentile woman to be addressed by a Jew. In the day when women were, even till this day, in Igbo land, if a woman's husband dies, for some relatives will be the ones that will come and say, no, it's our brother's thing. And the woman will be left out on the lodge. It's everywhere. In Yoruba land too? No, it's not in Yoruba land. It is? Okay. Well, I didn't know that existed, you know. But God has given us a voice. God has given us something to be able to begin to change this kind of perspectives, to be able to change the society in this ill. In Christ, we are equal. And I've always said it, you know, God has given us a role to play when it comes to the home. But a woman is no less in a home than a man. And we have to look at it that way and treat those whom the Lord has given us as wives in the same way. Build them up. Make our daughters see what it means to be honored. Make our daughters see what it means to honor a woman, to lift up mothers. Because we will be the examples they will follow. So, mothers, I salute you. Mothers, thank you. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, I thank you, Lord, just for this short message that we have shared. And I pray that what, Lord, you have purchased for us in your Son, what you have made a woman in Christ, lifting a woman to the place of honor, recognition, how you have even filled women with your Spirit, that we could talk about prophetesses, We could talk about women who are leaders in the body of Christ. Father, help us as men, as children in the body of Christ to, Lord, do the same, what you did, because the world would not do it. Give us wisdom to honor our mothers. Father, give us the courage to stand up for them. Put in our remembrance women who have blessed us, that we do not forget them. Father, we thank you for this day. And Lord, we pray that today, bless our mothers, O Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. At this time, we'll share the communion. Brother Wally, please.
Let's focus our minds on Christ again as we partake in the communion. I'll read from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Chapter 11. I'll start from verse 17, and as the Holy Spirit reminds us of the essence of the communion, Paul writes and said, now in giving this instruction, I am not praising you, because when you come together many times, it's not for the better but for the worse. May the Lord help us to come together for the better today. For first of all, when you come together as a church, here's what I hear. I hear that there are divisions among you, and I believe it. For there must be factions among you, so that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, if your mindset is like this, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Because in eating, one of you takes his own supper ahead of the others. And why? That means some are hungry, while another is already drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Do you want me to praise you when you behave this way? No, I do not praise you. Then he went on to say, for I receive from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This is my body, which is broken for you. I want you to do this strictly in remembrance of me. And in the same way, the Lord took a cup after supper, and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do every time you drink it, make sure you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, what you're doing is that you are proclaiming the Lord's death till he comes. Thank you, Father, for this service. Thank you for the life that Jesus has given to us. Thank you for the tremendous grace that has flowed from the Son of God to us. We remember your body. We remember your blood, without which the whole world will still be in darkness. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you because you are also coming back, and great will be all of our joy by reason of the gospel that we have received on the day when you come to take us to yourself. We thank you because of this great joy we have as a church, this great hope that is beyond everything happening under the sky, this hope that nothing can steal from us, that you love us, that while we were sinners, you died for us, that your body was broken on the cross of Calvary. This truth that the wise of this world reject, even in our generation, that no longer makes sense in the marketplace, but which is the power of God that we save those of us that believe in it. Thank you for your sovereign. We thank you for the expectation of your coming, when every tear will be wiped away. This great hope of the whole of mankind, when Christ will come. We thank you for gladdening our hearts. For all things may be taken from us, but your hope, it will never fail. We thank you, Jesus. We remember you. Your love is real. Your body, which was crushed for us, is real. The blood shed at Calvary is real. And we thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please, let's take the communion with introspection, with care, which is what this passage urges. Let's wait for one another. Let's bless the name of the Lord. Celebrate Jesus. Remember him as a friend, as a redeemer.